portion of the services and to bring you some announcements to introduce the sermon is our pastor, Mr. Jim Russell.
Well, thank you, Mr. Fleming, and a welcome all to the Church of God in Truth on a very sunny day here in Branson, West Missouri. Sounds like our days are looking like what Mr. Fleming just said his is. It's very sunny, bright, and it's very warm outside for compared to the cold weather we've been having. It's about 62 or 3, and that is very, very nice for us, and it's supposed to be into the 50s, I think, all next week. So I hope Mr. Fleming's and all who are on the phone here with us have beautiful weather such as we're talking about here. But again, greetings. I do welcome you all to the Church of God in Truth. Like I mentioned, it's very much appreciative of you taking the time here on God's Sabbath to join in with us. We do appreciate any newcomers or anybody that is welcome to join in here on God's Sabbath. I do usually always give the announcements right here, and I don't really have any new announcements that I necessarily need to say, but I do have an update, which I know we've been talking about several people having kept us alert of how things are going with those that they've asked us to be praying for, and so it's always nice to hear from them, to know that they are hearing our prayers and God is listening, and things are moving along in that direction that we ask God for. So anyway, I do have one here from Southern California, from Mr. Ernesto Allen. He had wrote on an email to bring us an update on what I mentioned last week. He said, "Dear brethren, please pray for my younger brother, Arthur Allen. His liver cancer was in one spot and has not spread to other areas. He will be having a radiation treatment for that." So we know how last week he wasn't sure what kind of what they would take, how perform, the doctor would perform to be able to handle that problem. And so now he knows that, and so we can all have it, Alan here on our prayers, have Arthur Allen on our prayers about his healing and help that he'll be needing, as well as the doctor's hands in guiding and directing what's being done there as well. But they definitely want to thank you for your prayers for him and his family in Christ's love, Ernesto Rice and Evelyn Allen. And so it's very much appreciated from Ernesto and his wife, his wife Ellen, Evelyn. They've been with us a long time here in God's church, and we really do appreciate their contributing and helping in prayers. As we all know, all of you who have been with us, we really thank you very, very much. And I say that's my wife and I. And it does take all of us together as a team, not working separately, but working together. And so that's what it seems like we are able to do, and it's very much appreciated. Other news here I wanted to just kind of bring to your attention here today. We should be receiving the magazines back from the printer sometime during this next week. And when we do, we'll be able to mail it back out probably by before the end of the week, hopefully. So you should be able to be getting your magazine sometime probably in about a week from now. But anyway, mentioning the magazine, we were just told at the post office that the postage is going to be going up in January. And as you know, I'm always complaining about that. So it's nothing new to you to hear me say anything or bring that up. But we were surprised that so quickly already they're going to be raising postage again. We have noticed that a lot of magazines, such as ours, now are just on the internet web page because of the cost of mailing hard copies have really gone up. And this is another example of that going up again, like I mentioned, in January's. But the postage, the cost of sending the magazine overseas for us, that is the Prove All Things magazine that we put together and mail out, that magazine costs $8.50 per magazine. $8.50 per magazine, and that's for overseas costs if we send that magazine overseas. The cost of sending it here in the United States is now $4.90 per magazine. That cost has gone up in the last 20 years, ridiculously expensive. But anyway, that is the reason a lot of magazines are now just going to be on the internet, and you can get them copied off of that way. And that's the way ours is. You, Mr. Martinez has it where we can, you can go in on the Prove All Things magazine on the internet and just click on that, and another little screen will show up and it shows where the magazine articles are and so forth and what month they're in and everything. And you can just click on it and you can put it on the printer in your computers and print it out and it'd be just like it is in the magazine. So anyway, you can see why the cost has gone up so much, why so many of the small churches like ourselves are going to the internet for overseas instead of going to just a hard copy because of the cost is absolutely skyrocketed. It's just way overpriced, I think, to do that. But anyway, that's what it is. So for this coming year, we just got to swallow another price hike in the mailing. And that's what we try to do from time to time, is the cost goes up. But anyway, I just want to tell you it's because of you. The money's there to be able to pay for that. And I truly do appreciate it. And we're trying on this end to keep the cost down as much as possible. So your prayers and tithes and offerings are truly appreciated here in the Church of God in Truth. And deeply want to thank all of you for all the help you've given us to be able to perform and to be able to put that magazine out and be able to get it into the hands of people, especially those overseas. They can have it as quickly as Mr. Martinez puts it on the internet. So that's a big help for us. And I do want to thank Mr. Martinez for that, because it takes a lot of work on his part and a lot of education to be able to do that. And that's why I'm not doing it. Okay, with that, that kind of ends my announcements here. So it sounds like everybody's muted. It's really been quietly here in the past few months. I think everybody's kind of getting in the habit, as I have to practice as well, to mute the phone. And it seems like everybody has done that, and it's very much appreciated. And we're going to be able to hear a message here again today from Puerto Rico. I understand that Mr. Martinez, who's going to bring that sermon, said that there have been had rain off and on. And so hopefully the storms or whatever there is between your house and Mr. Martinez's, where he's coming from in Puerto Rico, will be calm and be a good connection, and there won't be any interferences from lightning or thunder and so forth. So anyway, with that, Mr. Martinez, we're going to call you on to give a sermon here today. Mr. Martinez.
Thank you, Mr. Rosso. Hello, brother, and a very happy Christmas. Our sermon today was centered in the on the Epistle of Hebrews. Didn't you know, I didn't know that, maybe you, that even today we can't be 100% sure of who the author of the book of Hebrews is. Of course, God knows who wrote it, but if you read about it in the internet, there are other persons who have wrote it, so there is not today a real place where we can go and say this was written by Paul. Even though the King James Version, it says that it was, there are people who refute that. But that's not important for our salvation, because there is a lot of information inside the book of Hebrews that is really important for our salvation. Whoever it was, that person simply cannot take his eyes off our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, he is writing to people often confused, harassed, and persecuted Christians of that first century who were tempted to coldness and bitterness because of the glamour of force all around them. He says in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, in verse 26, I'm going to give you a couple seconds to get there. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. I'm going to use a Revised Standard Version because it explains it much better for us. It says, it was fitting that we should have such a priest, holy, blameless, unstained, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Our Lord Jesus Christ was just what they needed back in the first century. And because of this scripture, and it was written for all the people of God in all ages since then, it is also true that He is just exactly what we need in these confusing, pressure-filled, perplexing days of the 21st century we live in. Between verses 26 and 27 of chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, there is a major division in the letter. Between these two verses, the writer turns from this discussion of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ to that which occupies the next chapters, His work and His sacrifice. The next three chapters focus on the great altar of the cross and the bleeding sacrifice that hung there. We will never understand our Lord Jesus Christ except in connection with His cross. And we will never understand the cross apart from the person of Christ. These two are indivisibly united. In chapter 8, we see that this transforming event opened up for Christ a new dimension of ministry and restored for us in a new arrangement for living. You might be asking, a new dimension of ministry? The answer is found in the last two verses of chapter 7 and the first five verses of chapter 8. We have to remember, before there were no divisions in our Bibles. As I said before, there is first a perfect sacrifice, and we will be reading now verse 27 and 28 of Hebrews chapter 7. He says, He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for His own sins and then for those of the people. He did this once for all when He offered up Himself. Indeed, the law appoints men in the witness as high priest, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. We join the two phrases of these verses together to get the main thought that He speaks for us here. He offered Himself up, and He was made perfect. As a priest, our Lord Jesus Christ could find no unblemished sacrifice that He could offer except Himself. So, He offered Himself. As a sacrifice, there was found no other priest worthy of offering such a sacrifice. So Christ became both priest and victim. Not only did Christ offer up Himself as the perfect sacrifice, but He did it once for all, forever. That means the cross is a timeless event, and we have to see it that way. It is not simply an historic occurrence that we might look back. Every age can know for itself the meaning of His cross and sacrifice for us. It reaches back to cover all history so that it can be said that our Lord Jesus Christ is in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. You want to keep the Bible saying there and go back there a second. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, reading now from the King James Version, it says, "The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So what we just said is confirmed here in Revelation. Thus, all those of the Old Testament who have not yet known the historic presentation of Christ could also be saved, just as we are saved today. For the cross reached backwards into time as well as forward. The cross of Jesus Christ, from God's point of view, is the central act of history. Everything flows from that. The results of this perfect sacrifice are being continually ministered to us. Talking about us in the proper sanctuary. Reading now Hebrews chapter 8, and we will be reading from verse 1 through 5. This time, to make it clearer, I will be using the New King James Version. In verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 8, it says, "Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of a sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also has something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since they are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, 'Seeing that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.' As the writer says, brethren, the point of emphasis in what he has been saying is not duration, but location. The question is, where is this kind of ministry of Jesus Christ available? Where do we find it?" He answers that it comes from the risen Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the true sanctuary which God made, not man. And if you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 21, going to give you a couple seconds to go there. We will be returning to Hebrews. In Luke 17 and verse 20, we can read, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation,'" and this is important that we understand it, brethren, "nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there.' For in this, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of heaven," Jesus said, "is within you." He will help us to understand this if we look at what he says about the pattern, for the tabernacle was a pattern of this. When we are told that Moses built the tabernacle according to a pattern which was shown to him when he ascended Mount Sinai to receive the law from the hands of God. He was given specific instructions, as we can bring it out, find in Exodus 25 and verse 9. It says, "See that you make everything according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain when the tabernacle took form and shape under the direction of Moses." It was a copy of something else that Moses had already seen. But brethren, here in Hebrews, explain that if there is a new arrangement, that suggests, of course, that there has been an old arrangement. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry which is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he manifested better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then you have not been occasion for a second. Think about that, brethren. For he finds fault with them when he says in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 9, we will know what was the problem, and it wasn't from our God and his law. Here in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, we read, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, as much as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, 'Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord.'" The law of Moses was the first covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now, there was nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments, and there is still nothing wrong with them today. The fault was with the people, as we just read. God did not find fault with the law, but verse 8 says, and we just read it, he finds fault with them, with the people, for they misunderstood the purpose of the law. As men and women all over the world today misunderstand the purpose of the Ten Commandments, the people of that day thought God wanted them to keep these Ten Commandments as the only way that they could please him. They were wrong. They thought he demanded a rigid, careful, scrupulous observance of the Ten Commandments. But what they did not understand, though God pointed out this to them many, many times, was that God never expected them to keep it. God knew better. He knew they could not. He did not give it to them to be kept, for he knew they could not keep it. He gave them to them to show them they could not keep it, so they will then be ready to receive a Savior. our Lord Jesus Christ. But when Premasons confident, they try to keep it, and when they could not, as of course God knew they could not, they pretended to keep it, just as some churches in our days do so. But you cannot pretend to our God. He knows our heart better than anybody. They pretended to keep the law and deceived themselves. And so, they sank lower and lower in the moral level. When they had sunk into the darkness of pagan ignorance around them, then they were worshipping the filthy abominations of the heathen, and they were ready to be carried, casted into Babylon. Guess what? God sent a prophet to them named Jeremiah. Through Jeremiah, informed them of a permanent program that was yet to come. This program had always been available to them by faith. But one day, God said, will be made evident to the nation by sight. It's the program that we will be reading about it now. Let's turn now to verse 10 through 13 of Hebrews chapter 8. Again, I will be reading from the New King James Version. In verse 10, he says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they should be my people. None of them should teach his neighbor, and none his brother say, know the Lord. For all to know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and the lawless deeds I will remember no more." In that he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Lot of information in those verses. This is a covenant or agreement made between the Father and the Son. It is not made between us and God, nor between Israel and God. It is only between the Father and the Son. But if any man be in Christ, everything in this new covenant is available to him. Someday, Israel as a nation will be in Christ also. When they are, these words will be fulfilled also for Israel, as Jeremiah predicted. But right now, to Jew and Gentile alike, to any individual on the face of the earth who is willing to be in Christ, to let Christ live in him, guess what? This agreement is valid. Let's notice, there are four provisions of this new, as we call it today, constitution. God says, as we read, "I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts." Right there is the answer to the problem of human motivation. Have you discovered that the problem in your life is not doubt as to what is right? You have known that a long time ago. The problem is not wanting to do it. It is a problem of motivation. By now, all of us know what is right and wrong, but we need to be motivated because we don't want to do it. So the new arrangement, this new constitution, makes provision for that. We are to look to Christ when we are confronted with the thing we don't want to do. When we need a push, as we say today, a motivation, we are to say, or something similar, oh Lord Jesus Christ, you have promised to write your laws in our minds and our hearts, that we might do what you want us to do. Then, for his dear sake, we do it. Then he says, I will be their God, and they should be my people. What an answer to the search for identification is that. To be humble, to belong to someone. Here also is the answer to the ancient question of the human heart. What can I identify with? God says to us, you will be identified with me forever. I will be your God, and you will be my people. Then, there is the promise. As we read, they should not teach anyone his fellow or anyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all should know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Brethren, there is in the human heart today a desperate hunger for a hero. We want to look up to someone. We want to know some great one personality. God says to us, I will satisfy that in your life also, because you should know me. What a better hero to look for, right? Then, the last thing before closing is found in verse 13. We're going to read again. In there, it says, for I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. This, by the way, brethren, is the answer to the universal sense of condemnation some of us will not let go. An example today in our society would be, you know, I have a most difficult boss. I never know where I stand with him. Do we? Not often, we pray, feel that way about God. We say, I never know where I stand with God, but God says that if you are looking to the great right place, who is ministering to you all the effects of his sacrifice, this should never be a problem in your life. For he has written it down in no uncertain words for us, and we find those words that I hope we all remember from now on in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And I'm going to read it from Romans chapter 8 in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. None. N-O-N-E. He says that he's always for us and he's never against us. You have to put that in your heart, brethren. That's what he's saying to us. He always wants us to win. He does not mean he ignores iniquity, but he says, I will be merciful towards them. When you acknowledge it, there is no reproach and no go over again. Never do it. And he never does it either. Our God will never remember something he has already pardoned and forgot. the never-ending historical searching of the past as we humans do. God never does this. And we hope we should stop also doing it. Now, all this is continuously available for us. That is the joy of it. Always available from within. Minister to us constantly. If we will have it. Our last verse is from John chapter 7 and verse 38. John 7 verse 38. Most of us know this verse by heart. It says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That is the sermon. Again, a very happy Sabbath to you all. Bye now. Bye. Now back to Mr.